Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Table Manners, a very special edition. Mum, what are we going to call these bonus episodes, these revisited episodes?
Rehashed?
Rehashed.
Isn't that what you do with the beans, those Mexican things?
Refried, that's refried.
Refried. Maybe we'll call it refried.
I don't know if that's good. That kind of looks like we killed the episode the first time round. I don't know.
Well, let's call it seconds. We're giving you a chance to taste it again.
Second helpings.
Second helpings or another taste.
I think we've got it. By Jove, we've got it. Welcome to Table Manners, Second Helpings. I'm Jessie Ware and I'm here on Zoom with my mum. How are you, mum?
As you know, you can't see me, darling.
Do you want to tell the listener why?
The veneer came off last night eating the crust of a pizza with your children.
You're making my children sound like they were complicit.
They don't eat the veneer coming off. They don't eat the crust, so I did.
No, that's just you being a greedy cow, mum.
That's exactly right.
You know, people that listen to this podcast know about Lenny's veneers and how scared she is about them. And it took a soggy crust to rip that veneer off.
Actually, it wasn't that soggy. It was the most delicious crust I've ever tasted.
Well,
from your
was it
local
worth it?
Pizza place. No, it was not.
Anyway, so I can't see you, but we shall reminisce about some of our past guests. We are going into our 16th series, and some of you may have just joined us. A lot of you joined us during lockdown, and we have plenty of amazing guests that we had way back when, but maybe you aren't scrolling that far back. You know, this is 5 years of episodes. So we thought we'd give you a refried, rehashed reintroduction to some of the early episodes. And what better way to start than right at the beginning, our first ever episode, which was in, oh my God, 2017, November. Oh my God, nearly 6 years ago.
Who'd have thought I'd be sitting here 6 years on?
Oh God, that's quite bleak.
Well, I'm glad I'm still here, darling.
What, like professionally or kind of...
Oh, physically.
Physically. Okay, right. We are starting from the top. It's Sam Smith. They came on to talk about an album, but really they did me a favour. And I think from what I remember, Mum made her fabulous turkey meatballs, which then went on to go into the cookbook. They'd just done Saturday Night Live. Since then, Sam has gone on to have a brilliantly filthy song called Unholy, which we all love, is on tour at the moment, is just quite fabulous. Also, we need to say, you know, this was 6 years ago, and we've learnt from our mistakes. We no longer call The Last Supper a death row meal. However, it is called a death row meal in there. So before you go and email me telling us that we are awful human beings, we know, and that's why we changed it about 1 year in. However, apologies, it's called the death row meal in this. And Mum is getting a Deliveroo. Why are you getting a Deliveroo at 9 a.m? That's what I want to know, Mum.
Because I've got no milk for my coffee.
Oh, fair enough. Without further ado, and less of Lenny's milk dramas and teeth dramas, actually altogether calcium dramas.
I feel calcified, yeah.
This is Sam Smith, our very first Table Manners episode. Enjoy. Hello, Sam Smith. Right, what can I get you to drink?
Coffee.
What?
Coffee, please.
Oh, hard.
I'm going to be boring today.
I know about this.
I made a bet with Max.
Who's Max?
Max Gerrans.
I know who Max is, but everyone else doesn't.
I made a bet with him that I basically said I didn't want to drink Christmas Eve. And he said I couldn't do it. And I was like, I'm going to show you. And
why
if,
don't you
if
want
I
to drink
make it to Christmas Eve, he has to get a tattoo of my choice. And he's never had a tattoo before.
And isn't it going to be on his bottom?
On his lower back.
And what are you going to put down?
Dick Whisperer. Is that amazing? I won't make him do it.
He
thinks I'm going to make him get Dick Whisperer.
How are you finding not drinking?
It's interesting. It's cleared my head massively.
I know,
but the last
so
week
boring.
Has been super stressful and I really just want
to... You just want a bloody drink.
Yeah, I just want wine. It's fine. It's fine. That's why I'm...
Smoking.
Yeah.
Well, hold on a minute. I'm going to get you coffee. Do you just want black coffee or do you want...
black.
I've got almond milk if
Black's
you want.
Great.
Okay, fine.
Thank you.
I'm heating up the food. Babe, it's like... So I thought that you were being really healthy. That's what Max said, your manager. He was like, Sam's on a healthy tip. So I was like, yeah, fine. We've done something relatively healthy.
Babe.
I mean, Mum got you courgette. She didn't know what cauliflower rice was.
Like,
but we've got it, but we've actually just got white rice, which is
perfect.
Far more delicious.
I prefer rice. I prefer rice. I wanted to save myself for this.
Okay, fine. But it's not going to like make you hate yourself after.
No, God no, jeez. I've been eating so badly in New York.
Did you go to Carbone?
What's that?
Oh my God, it's the best Italian ever. They do this vodka pasta,
oh
which
my
is
God.
Insane.
I went to San Ambrosio. Have you been there?
No,
oh,
what
it's
is
incredible.
It?
It's Italian as well. They do good Italian in New York.
They really do. So you were there because you were doing SNL?
Yeah. It was stressful, I'm not going to lie.
Was it? Why?
Why do you think, Mum? It's his first thing back from being like the biggest pop star in the world.
But it's like, do you know what it is? It's like in that moment, I mean, obviously you feel like you're in a team, you know this, Jessie, but you feel you have a team around you. But in that moment, it's all on you. It's all on you and it's live. And it was, I nearly puked in the dress run whilst I was singing because I was starting to feel a bit sick as well. It was horrible. But then I just had a bit of Coca-Cola. Chilled my stomach out.
It was really that bad?
Yeah, and then I got through it, which was great.
Babe, I always just think of you as brilliant at live. Well, you're the most capable singer I know, but like you are brilliant at singing live. And I had to get a hypnotherapist for my Jules Holland performance.
No,
I didn't think you got that scared.
No, I'm getting more and more scared.
Oh,
it's
shit.
Really intense.
Why?
I don't know.
But you're fabulous. Why would you be scared?
I don't know, but in the moment,
I
forget to sing, how to sing. You forget everything. It's the live TVs that are so intense.
And it's like, I think the thing that people forget is your voice. Like, as soon as you're nervous, dry throat, clamps up, can't do it. It's not like playing a trumpet and you can just, like, play it.
So true. There's no room for human error, is there, really?
No.
And It's sad because you think back at all the music that I'm inspired by, and I know that you are too, is imperfect, you know? Those old soul records, you know, look at Etta James performing live and all that stuff. She was messing up all the time, but it was part of it, and it was part of the... But because of autotune and because of all of that, I feel like everyone just wants you to be on the money every time, and it's
interesting. And I think talent shows too.
Yeah.
Because I know that I talk about when they go a bit flat. But then I listened to, I saw the Whitney documentary recently.
Oh, my God, me too.
Cried.
The BBC one?
The Nick Brimfield one.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, she goes really flat.
Yeah.
And I don't care.
Yeah, completely.
You don't care.
No, because it's feeling.
Yeah.
It's feeling. It was great. New York's amazing.
Well, I mean...
Exciting.
It's SNL. I've never done it. It's like the biggest TV show to do.
Yeah.
Because you do how many songs of your own?
You do two, but then you rehearse on the Thursday and the Saturday you come in and you do two more rehearsals. So it's like this big performance that is built up.
And do you have to do like comedy skits?
No, I didn't do that.
Fuck no. But you're funny.
We can swear, right?
Babe, okay, it's my podcast, come on. So to bring it back to the reason we're here, firstly, thank you so much for doing this.
Babe, are you joking?
Any excuse to see you.
Any excuse to see
you. And any excuse to eat with you.
Yes.
We've had good meals together.
So many good meals. So
we love food.
Meals. I love food more than my family.
It's the best thing
it
in the
is,
world.
It's the only thing that actually gets me through my every day.
So can I ask you, because I guess for me, just to explain, like I decided to do this podcast because obviously, you know, my mum's a really good cook. She's going to be, she always does this face where she goes, no, she's great. And food's been always important to our family. Like with you growing up, were you a foodie family?
Massively. My dad couldn't cook, so my dad was a house husband. Mm-hmm. Well, he could cook. That's really bad for me to say that, but he just used, every time we follow a recipe, he just would pour water in it. I remember him cooking this amazing curry once, and he followed the recipe, and it was this Jamie Oliver recipe. It was incredible. And then he just put the whole entire pot under the tap. I don't know why he did it. It's really weird.
Maybe he thought it wasn't enough salt.
Yeah, maybe. But he never trusted the recipe. So Dad would always ruin the meals at the last minute. But food-wise, as a kid, it was my mum. My mum's cooking was outrageous. But we also, as a kid, I was very lucky. I went out to eat a lot, which was great.
But you grew up in near Cambridge.
Yeah, near Cambridge countryside. So there were some beautiful places to go to. But yeah, food... No, I've always had a weird relationship with food, though. It's something that I love so much. Mm. Like, my sisters were never that fussed by it.
I know. I live to eat rather than eat to live.
Me too. It's not a problem. I think it's a gift. I really do believe it's a gift. Yeah. Because I used to watch my sisters and being forced to finish their plates every day. And
I don't understand that.
It's mad.
I'm already thinking about my second plate when I've just got my serving.
I'm thinking about my breakfast on the way home tonight. Yeah, it's mad.
But so your mum was a really good cook.
Mum's unbelievable. She's got better now, but she was incredible. But it would, because she worked in the city, it'd be once a week, which made it more of an event, I guess.
So what would it be like weekends with the
weekends,
family?
Weekends,
roasts.
She's amazing at all different types of Thai food, but she just loves following recipes. So she'll just go in.
So they're both quite strict. They do follow a recipe.
Yeah, massively. And Dad tries to.
Oh, bless him.
I mean, he used to just cook a lot of jacket potatoes and cheese and beans, which is still my favourite thing in the world.
Me too.
Loads of cheese and beans.
Well, I like... So Sam, my husband, who you know, likes to have cold baked beans.
Oh.
Don't. I didn't understand it until I had it. So we love... No. Jacket potato night is one of my favourite nights, where you have it... And you have all the different toppings. So you do tuna mayonnaise.
Tuna, yeah. Coleslaw.
Nice salad. I like to do grated carrot with some cheddar, just because you feel a bit less guilty. And then he has cold beans.
That's strange. I don't like that.
Yeah, I don't...
Does it taste good?
I just don't understand why you'd have cold beans.
Me either.
I don't know if it's his way of trying to be salt of the earth and like brings them back to camping in the Lake District. I don't fucking know, but you had a stove there too, babe. But anyway, I have to have cold beans. But I do love a jacket potato.
Oh, unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Do you cook?
I try to, but for me, cooking in my family, actually, my mum's side of the family is a huge thing that I link it with getting older. Like, I can't wait to get like 60, 70 and just like cook. It's like my retirement plan.
Would you open a restaurant?
No, just like family cooking. I just think it's something that I just want to do when I have more time. And really do it every night.
But so like, do you ever cook at home?
I do actually, yeah. I cook, but mainly really basic stuff.
Like what?
Roasted butternut squash with feta and all that stuff.
Okay,
and then I go to like the butchers and stuff and get amazing meats and stuff like that. But
I always ruin the amazing meats that I get from the butchers because I always kind of am impatient and I just turn the heat up
really
quickly.
You should tell them how to... I ask them, I'm like, how do you cook it? And they'll tell me, it's incredible.
But you... Yeah, I mean, I remember you came over here. I loved it. You got trained by my husband, personal training. And then to celebrate your training, you brought over cakes for me and you
healthy
to eat.
Healthy
cakes. They were heaven sent.
I had one
sent.
Today. Ridiculous.
Can you just explain what they are? Because
they're called aphrodisiac cakes and it's like this gooey chocolate tart thing. But it's all made with cacao and raw and like coconut butter and stuff like that. It's great.
Will you tell Sam what's on the menu tonight?
I did, turkey meatballs. Well,
that is not exciting, Sam, but it was because we were trying to do it lean.
I like turkey.
They're really very light, and they're almost as good as the Greek ones, the souslakia, you know, the ones that are very, very light. So and you make them, and you put Parmesan inside. So they do taste nice, I hope.
Beautiful.
So we did get you cauliflower rice and courgette, but I'm
Let's just go rice.
Okay, fine, thank you.
I thought Mexico was in Europe until last year. I got a plane with my manager, and he said, and I didn't have any hand luggage. And he was like, why have you not got any hand luggage? And I was like, it's just like a 2-hour plane journey to Mexico. And he was like, no, Sam. Where do you think Mexico is? And I thought Mexico was like near Germany. Because if you look at pictures, it looks very Spanish. Not that Spain is near Germany, but it looks very Spanish and everyone speaks Spanish. And I just didn't realise it was so far away.
So, had you packed correctly?
Nope.
Why are you in Mexico on a holiday?
No, just gigs. Got a shock of my life. It's a 12-hour plane journey.
Very different to Spain and Germany.
Can I whip cream with a hand blender? I'm not fucking whipping it for like, I've got one of those bloody things, I just can't find them. Hold on, Mum. Mum, we need whipped cream. This is going to be an issue.
Have you got a whisk?
I don't mind having non-whipped cream.
No, I mind.
How do you whip cream?
Have you got ice cream as well?
So this is an absolute mess, Mum. Oh, hold on. I found a whisk.
Okay, well that could take 20 minutes.
Oh, hold on, no.
That could take 20 minutes. Oh my God, look at that whisk.
Should I just try and do it for a bit? Yeah. I mean, how long is it going to take?
A little while, darling.
Think of those arm muscles, babe.
No, haven't been able to work out for ages. I just have one Pete Sampras, like, bloody bicep. Oh no, Mum, it's already whipping.
Good.
Oh my God, I'm incredible.
Whip it good. Into
whip
shape.
It real.
Oh. It's not too late.
I've overdone it. How did you do that?
Oh my God, that's whipped so quickly.
No, what the fuck?
We froze our guinea pigs by accident when we were kids.
What? How did you freeze?
We left them in the garage and they froze.
Shit.
I know, but we thought the garage was warm. Yeah. And we put like padding and everything there, but they died.
Oh my God.
We had a nightmare as kids with pets. We had like all our hamsters got eaten by the cat.
Oh yeah, the gerbil, yeah.
Jar Jar Binks was my first hamster, just got mutilated.
Oh, sorry, can you please, just because.
Oh, God.
No, it's just because I feel like not enough people know how... Well, I mean, a lot of people know you're funny, but, like, I've never... No, it's going to be really embarrassing for you, but I don't care. Do your impersonation that I love you to do.
Colin.
Yeah.
It's going to sound weird with a cold.
No, it's going to sound amazing.
You stupid fat hobbit. It's good, isn't it? You ruined it. My precious. Is it good?
So good.
Very good.
My precious.
Now you've got the role.
Frodo Baggins.
So good. I'm not going to tell. We had the best Glastonbury of our lives. Me just basically making him repeat that till 6 o'clock in the morning.
That's my memory of you, babe, you know. I have to tell you.
Pissing in a bush together.
Oh my gosh.
Remember that?
When you were pissed, you were squatting in the bush in Glastonbury.
Babe,
I was
you were
dead.
Pissing right by me.
Oh
Doug.
My God. But my favourite.
Your daughter.
I don't know if you know this, but the first time I ever met Jessie. I was working in a bar in London and I took 2 days off of work to go to Bestival to perform with Disclosure for the first time.
Oh God, I've done the wrong story then.
No.
Is that we met at Bestival?
First time we ever met. And I was on the side of the stage and I'd taken a day off work and I was shitting myself because I'd never performed in front of anyone before and I had to sing Latch. And sing with, like, Disclosure and I wasn't familiar with dance music. I remember watching YouTube videos of you performing in Ibiza with Annie Mac before I'd even met you, just trying to gauge like how I would perform.
Oh, shut up.
And I stood side of stage in the Best of All, in the big top 10, and I watched you do your set. And then my first memory of Jessie is she met me before and she was like, how are you? And
you
were very
you
sweet. No, before I went on in Best of All, we met outside.
We met at Plan B on the side of the stage. Shit.
No, that was
I'm
after.
A terrible friend. Okay, go on.
And then I was performing Latch and something was wrong with my in-ears. And I panicked because I'd never performed with in-ears before. And I turned to my right and you were on the side of the stage. And you ran around the back of the stage to the sound desk and you were helping me with my sound. And we'd only just met, and you literally saved me.
The people's princess, they call
me. You're just such a beautiful person.
Oh, babe, no, that I was saying that my intro, well, I got the wrong bloody day. I thought we met
that
at Plan B. But I just remember it was basically how our romance started, that we would dance and Vogue on the side of the stage to Disclosure. Yes. We knew the set off by heart.
Yes.
Be like, something is
boiling. Oh my God, yeah, it's
and then it'd be like, bit into when a fire starts to burn.
Vogue.
Yeah, and it was so much fun.
It was so, back then it was, There was an excitement, wasn't there?
And there was an innocence about it.
Yeah, really was.
There was a real scene and it was just
and none of us knew what we were doing. Oh, wow.
You don't have to have all of it.
But yes, I do.
Okay, good.
Oh, thank you.
Okay. Sorry, it's a bit trash pudding. Mum, announce, please announce what we're eating.
Okay, so there's meringues with cream.
Over with another set batch of over whipped
cream. Did you make the meringue?
No, I didn't.
Oh my.
No,
God.
But they're not shot.
My friend Anne's Sweeney makes the best meringues.
So you basically made them?
Yeah.
John Berry's?
Yeah, please. Okay. That's enough then.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I'm never mad about summer fruits.
Oh, I do. I
don't really like
them.
Fruit.
I like them with yogurt. With
that leads me to my next question. What is your comfort food? What's your go-to comfort food?
Crunchy peanut butter with jam on a cinnamon bagel with loads of butter, toasted, with a glass of milk.
Oh, sweet. Oh, that's a nice sweet. One. Yeah. And why is that? Does it take you back to your childhood?
Yeah, my grandma used to... My grandma was the reason why I got fat. She used to feed me up. My mum and dad would be like, you need to stop eating, when I was like 13 because I was getting huge. And grandma would be like, he's young, he's growing, let him eat. And my parents were really strict, so they were like, he can't eat bad food. And I have a very fond memory of my grandma waking me up at 3 a.m. in my summer holidays and taking me downstairs and just sitting with me on the kitchen bench, just feeding me peanut butter and jam. On a spoon.
I love her.
Yeah, she was amazing.
Which grandma was it? Your mum's mum?
It's my mum's mum, yeah. She was incredible. Incredible.
When did she pass away?
When I was 19. She got really sick and we thought she was going to die and we all said her goodbyes and then she had another year.
Oh, just good.
Yeah, and she was amazing. She was smoking weed to the very end. Because she was in so much pain, they just gave her weed. Oh, so she was just high, basically, for the last year of her life. She had a fabulous time. She had a fabulous time.
Was she a good cook?
No.
So she was just kind of the naughty influence, the bad influence?
Yeah, just a lot of grilled cheese sandwiches and stuff. But she was such a... Oh, God. There's nothing better than having that grandma that it just gives you all the things you shouldn't have. And it's just amazing.
It's like Gaga, my mum's grandma. My mum's mum. I mean, hers was mostly predominantly like gefilte fish, which I don't know, I had a really big thing for. It was like fried fish.
Balls. It's mixed fish and you put it in balls and you...
It's a Jewish thing. It's
fish balls, really.
Some people would like
really
it.
Delicious.
But it was good.
What's your favourite thing to cook?
I like doing Friday night dinner. So I like doing chicken soup with matzo balls, chopped
I've
liver.
I've never had that either.
You see, I think everyone should have that.
I know, sorry, we should have done it.
No, I've never had it.
Friday night dinner
is
great.
We'll come round to Mum's for a Friday night dinner.
Mm. Yeah, and we have lots of people, it's always fun. Mm. So I like chopped liver. Have you ever had that in...
No.
Not in New York? So it sounds horrible, but it's chicken
have
liver.
Have you
never
been to
Katz's
Deli? When you've been in New York?
Never been. But I know where it is and I know the history of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, chicken soup with matzo balls, which are very light. They're just like a dumpling. They're delicious. And then roast chicken often.
You're smashing it.
Yeah, smashing it with other people's
rind. Yeah, but it's
don't care.
It's clever. Resourceful. Yeah.
Mm.
Otto Lengi's meringues. Have you ever seen them?
Yeah, they'll do that pistachio ones. Or
I love carrot cake.
Do you?
Yeah, I'm obsessed with
that. That's your go-to cake?
Yeah, isn't it weird?
Why?
Cake and Horlicks.
I love Horlicks! Oh my God, I haven't had a Horlicks for about 20 years.
In Whitley Bay, like near Newcastle, they do this Horlicks by the seaside, which is just the best.
Why do you go there?
That's where my mum's family come from. But Whitley Bay is beautiful, but recently it's really run down, but I think they're putting more money into it and because it's such a beautiful seaside town.
So what, you'd go there for family holidays?
Yeah, all the time, like 4 or 5 times a year.
And you'd have a Horlicks on the beach?
Yeah, there's this old cafe called Rendezvous, and they haven't changed a thing for like 50 years.
I love the name.
It's beautiful, and they have this amazing Horlicks that they give you in the...
But how do they do it differently, or is it literally just like...
It's more creamy and milky and...
Is hot Bovril just a northern thing, or is it a London thing?
I've never tried it.
You get it at football.
You get it at football, but I don't know if they do it at football in London.
Do they do it at football in London?
I don't think they do, you know.
No, I think it's...
They're more pucker pies here,
aren't they? Yeah, pucker pies.
Fucking hate football.
Pucker pies?
Just like pies, crappy pies that are quite nice.
Do you like football?
I used to adore it, and I feel like I've neglected it since I've been a singer. I can't kind of have my attention on both things.
I can't stand it. My dad used to force me to go since I was like five.
Well, who does he support?
I used to eat the pies and just look at the boys and just pray I didn't get punched in the face because everyone was so aggressive around me.
What? Who does he support?
Fulham.
They're not even that bad.
It's aggressive for me. Everyone gets when I used to dread when they score because everyone would just go fucking mental and it would scare the shit out of me. I'm just sitting there with my pie, just trying to have a chill time.
There's the Michael Jackson statue there. Though.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know they've taken it away.
I know.
Because it's obscene.
It was pretty hideous.
So
but it's a beautiful ground.
It's the best ground. Yeah. And if you're Craven a bit fed up and you go out for a hamburger, you can see all the river.
It's pretty beautiful, yeah. All my family work on the vegetable stalls on North End Road.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, market traders. They're proper Cockney.
Is this on your dad's side?
Yeah. Yeah, it's fascinating. They all still work there now.
How did your mum and dad meet?
They met in a pub in, Turnham Green.
So then how did they end up out in Cambridge?
Well, my mum was working in the city. Mm. My dad was working with mentally handicapped people. I don't know, actually. I think they just wanted to move into the countryside. But then, and they moved to a place called Linton. And then I was born, but I was a mistake.
Really?
Well, not a mistake. Why? Is that the wrong word to say? I wasn't meant to be the youngest in terms of her being pregnant. But yeah, I'm the oldest. But then I think when I was born, it changed everything. And then 3 years later, my sister Lily was born. And then they got a bigger house in the countryside and really set up there. And then they broke up and now they both... Mum lives back in London. And Dad still lives there.
Together.
No, but it's like... I always dread saying it because I think people think, oh no, that's really bad. But it's they're best friends. That's really lovely.
That's really rare.
When they were splitting up, I remember being 18 and just being like, I won't allow this to happen if this is going to be a nasty thing. Like, we can do this and you can break up and still be friends. And they're still really good friends.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
We were talking before, but like, you were saying something about your music and how you decided on the songs on this record. How did you do it?
Meals Like This were a huge part of the making of this record because I'd go to the studio and for the whole year, my aim was just to be there for my family. For 3 years, it was about me all the time. And I just wanted to be there for them and for it to be about their issues or what they were going through. So that's what I did in the whole year and a half I was off. I'd be in the studio during the day, finish at 5, 6, and just go and spend time with my family every night. But that's how I shared the music with them as well. Like, we'd sit and have amazing meals, and my mum's all drink some wine. Mm. And then after a bit of wine, I felt a bit confident to be able to play a few tunes. And then I'd play the tunes, and they'd give me their honest opinion. And you'd see in their faces if it moved them or not.
Does anybody else sing in your family?
My mum could hold a tune. My sister Mabel couldn't sing. But no, not professionally or anything.
So how did it happen that you became so kind of crazy about singing? When did you realise you got a voice?
It's got the most amazing voice.
Well, I know, but when did you realise that?
Was it always the voice?
Do you know what? It's so weird for me because singing wasn't even something that I was just like, I love this so much. It was more like, I remember just singing at being like eight years old, and I'd sing along to all my mum's songs in the car because it was a 20-minute drive from our house into town because we lived in quite a remote countryside.
So what would she be playing?
Aretha. Whitney, yeah.
Snap.
Stevie,
exactly the same
Shaka
as mum.
Khan.
Yeah,
and I used to just belt away, and it was my dad who he said, would you be up for doing singing lessons? And I was like, yeah, sure. I think I remember just being young and wanting to be good at something because I wasn't very good in school or anything else. And I was like, yeah, of course. And Dad, really, I don't know why he did this. And I do think it's the main reason why I sing how I sing now. Is he went to a local jazz singer who wasn't even a teacher.
So clever.
And he was like, would you teach my son how to sing? And she was like, I don't teach, but yeah, let's have a lesson. And she
how
just...
How did he know her?
He just heard her voice in like local jazz bars.
Oh my God, that's so clever.
Yeah, and then my dad... And then she was like, just bring the music you want to sing and we'll sing it. And I remember being like 10, bringing Amy Winehouse, You Sent Me Flying.
Oh,
which is probably not appropriate for a 10-year-old to sing. But I remember bringing the musical score and playing it, and she'd play the piano and I'd just sing. And that was my singing lessons for like 4 or 5 years, was just singing songs that I wanted to sing with her.
I wished I'd done singing lessons like that. I did classical.
I got into classical after. Which is equally as important.
It's important, but like, I just wanted to do the jazz musical numbers. So like, but
the classical gives you that support.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, but you've got it too. You're all right.
But that's from my musical theatre training. That's how I got the stomach support that you need.
Did you want to be a musical theatre star, or did you want to be a pop star?
I had a really weird period when I was 14, 15. I had my first manager when I was 11.
Bloody hell, so how'd you find that?
It's a guy that wanted to help me out locally. He was managing the
jazz.
Well,
then your
teacher.
Voice must have been pretty remarkable at that age.
So that was
like,
before your voice broke.
Yeah. Know? I remember sitting with my mum crying one time because I was like, I need to decide right now what I want to do.
Oh, and how old are you?
Because I was 14, 15. I was like, I need to decide what I want to do career-wise because I need to start work now. That's what I remember. And I used to sit and cry because I was like, I don't know what to choose. Do I attempt to be in musical theatre or do I try and be a pop singer? Mm.
And then, what did she say?
My mum actually said, she said, I feel like musical theatre will be harder for you because it's...
Why?
Just because, she said, because of how many people are in it. And I don't know, she said it would be harder, but she also said she thought I should do musical theatre just because I was 14 years old and I was gay and I was living in a village with no gay people and I was went to school and there was no gay people in my school. And I think my mum just wanted me to be around gay people or just people of an artistic mindset like me. So she wanted me to go to drama school. But at the same time, she was just like, do whatever you feel.
Did you get a place at drama school?
No, I never auditioned.
Because your best friend went to arts ed, didn't she?
Yeah, and I went to Sylvia Plath Saturday School and I went... Four times.
Sylvia Plath or Sylvia Young?
Sylvia Plath. Sylvia Young.
The most depressing Saturday school ever.
Reciting poetry.
Singing the bell drop. Right.
But I went 4 times to Saturday school, to Sylvia Young's.
Was it horrible?
It was great.
Oh, you
liked
it?
The fourth time, the
Who
singing
was in your
teacher.
Class?
It wasn't the proper school, so it was just a Saturday
Pixie
thing.
Lott wasn't there.
No. She went to the main school.
She was Italia Conti, wasn't she?
Yeah, she was. Oh. Winehouse got kicked out of Sylvia Young, didn't she? Mm. But I was.
Is that why you wanted to go to Sylvia Young?
No. I just wanted to go because I wanted to do musical theatre. But the singing teacher took interest in my voice and he asked me to start coming to his studio. And I started to go to his studio instead of the Saturday school and record covers. And
so people were hearing this voice and thinking, we can do something with this immediately.
But before I met Sam and Jack and Elvin,
your managers.
I'd had seven managers. I'd recorded one album when I was 15.
Oh, wow.
Was trying to get out of a record deal that my mum signed. I didn't even sign it. So by the time I met Sam and Jack, I'd felt like I had been working for years, and I felt like it wasn't for me.
What, doing
pop music?
But before I met them, I was
18, 19, just moved to London, and I was like, do you know what? I don't want this life. I was like, I'm gonna travel. I was like, I'll give it one more year of trying. And trying to write music that fits. But if it doesn't work out, I'm just going to try and be young and just travel.
Wow, I didn't know that.
And then it happened, yeah.
And Latch.
Lay Me Down first.
Lay Me
Down. Yeah. First day I met Jimmy, we wrote Lay Me Down.
Oh, wow.
And then Sam and Jack met me and said, would you be up for writing with Disclosure?
So Jimmy is Jimmy Napes, who is an amazing songwriter who you wrote most of your stuff with.
Yeah.
And they, Sam and Jack, your managers, also managed Jimmy. And they were managing Jimmy at the time, were they?
Yes, yeah. And Disclosure.
And Disclosure. And so they heard Lay Me Down and they were like, we're having a piece of this
Yeah, they were just like, they played it to the boys and then I met Disclosure and the same day I met them, we wrote Latch. It's like a weird domino effect. That first two years was just like, it just all happened so quick. But yeah, so thankful it did. Wow.
Have you written a lot with Jimmy this time?
Yeah, he's got, and he produces the record.
You went away from each other for a little bit and tried to kind of do your own thing.
There was a 2-month period where I had to walk away.
Yeah.
And discover what I wanted to say as an artist. You know, I love Jimmy, he's amazing, but it's my album, so I have to figure out what I've got to say.
Yeah.
And also, me and Jimmy were writing the same song again and again, because we listened to In the Lonely Hour too many times.
Yeah, and then you're probably trying to second guess, make a Stay With Me round two accident, not because you necessarily want it, I can presume, but you kind of go, well, that worked, and it's people safe. Like it. And
but then our distance, after that 2-month period, we came back, and me and him went to Ireland together, and we were just writing, we wrote Midnight Train and Pray.
You had this, I remember, because Jimmy's wife was over here, and you were having this kind of slightly romantic getaway in Ireland. You were drinking loads of whiskey.
Yeah, Guinness. It was
beautiful.
And we just got to reconnect with each other and it was so important to just be in the middle of nowhere, and we had no phone signal. We just had to sit and chat, and it was just amazing. He's such a vital part of what I do. Mm. He really is.
Do you want children? You do?
Massively. Yeah, it's like my life plan, and I'll do it with or without a man.
Would you do adoption, or would you do?
I don't know. I think I might do both.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I don't know yet. When I was in, went to Iraq to the camps, that made me want to adopt.
Yeah,
just because there's so many kids out there that just don't have families at home.
Who got you involved with? Was it War Child?
War Child, yeah, it was amazing, amazing.
Are you gonna do more work with them?
Yeah, 100%, incredible. But yeah, I want kids so bad. I just feel like it's nature's way of reminding you that it's not about you.
It's certainly a way of reminding you.
It makes you, like, not selfish.
Yeah.
But I've never had a kid. You two have, so I don't know.
I don't know.
The thing I ever did in my life.
Yeah.
Without doubt.
It's. Yeah. I mean, it's been wild this year, but it's also pretty amazing.
Yeah.
That's the best thing. But
yeah, but also you've got so many stages to go through. Are you excited for when you can just sit and have a glass of wine with her?
What, with her?
Yeah.
I have a glass of wine with her when she's in the bath. I'm having wine. Yeah, don't worry, it's already started.
But when you can sit and talk about life and like,
I know, I can't wait for her to start talking, actually. I think that's like,
I think she's going to be a great talk. And she's quite funny.
She's quite entertaining. Like, she goes for the laugh, which is quite good fun.
Oh, she's going to be wonderful.
No, it's going to be a mad year. You're not doing festivals?
No, which I'm a bit upset about, actually. I wanted to do them.
Well, would you do them the year after, maybe?
But it depends how long it goes on for, right?
Well, how long did the last one go? Like 2.5 years?
Yeah.
Well, too long or not? Did it feel
it
too long?
It felt too long, but it was longer because of the Bond thing. But it's, I don't know. The music has changed so much.
I know.
Going into it, like, it's crazy how much has changed
streaming
in 3 years.
I know.
It's mad, like, and I don't know. It's weird, I was talking to John Mayer the other day. He said something amazing to me.
I fancy him so much.
He's beautiful. But he said something amazing to me, which will stay with me forever. He was like, he said, we make red t-shirts. Everyone's making blue t-shirts right now. Don't make bad blue t-shirts. Carry on making good red t-shirts and camp out. And it's so true.
That's such a good idea.
Isn't
it
so
true.
Nice? I think it's so true. Because I just think in the climate music right now, people aren't really listening to singer-songwriters and I'm talking about more just like the climate of pop music when you're performing at award shows and stuff. It's just, I feel like the odd one out a little bit sometimes.
It's this, we're both kind of waiting. I mean, I think we know your album's going to do all right, but it's this weird period before the album comes out where you're just in this like threshold, like it's just slightly unnerving.
Yeah.
When really all you want to do is play the gigs.
Completely. Once it's out, it'll be beautiful and fine. It's just the hype that, it's a lot, isn't it?
It must be hard for you at the moment.
It's fine. It's fine.
You're dealing with it really well.
I feel really chilled.
You seem really relaxed.
I think it's the non-drinking that helps.
Really?
Yeah.
But you're not a massive drinker.
No, but I think before, when something good would happen, I'd go out and celebrate, and then it just made everything more like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Mm. Whereas now, I just go to a hotel room and chill and kind of wind down and I don't know. I'm still watching Bake Off at 8 o'clock on a Tuesday.
That's like, a dream, man.
Whilst promoting a record is great.
Right, back to the food. Death Row, we haven't asked this one. What's your final meal?
Fish and chips.
From
large
where?
Fish
from
and
where?
Chips. From a legit, like, really good seaside fish and chip shop.
Okay, fine.
But fish and chips with a pickled onion, a battered sausage,
okay.
Bread and butter.
The shop.
Bread and butter and a saveloy for the walk.
So you're not even going starter?
No, just
you're
like
just going
the biggest
like
main
three
meal.
Meat yeah. mains.
Basically everything that's in the fish and chip shop.
Is that like one of your favourite things?
Yeah.
When do you have it?
And curry sauce. I forgot.
When do you have that? Do you have it a lot?
No, but it's one of those
ones. It's quite
ones
a hard one to digest.
You eat it and then you have
hate
to open
yourself.
Your buttons and just like lay yeah. back and roll around. Yeah. It's like Christmas dinner. Do you ever, on Christmas dinners, do you have to excuse yourself and lay on the bed for a minute?
No, I lay on the sofa and then I rev myself up for the turkey sandwich.
Really?
That I watch, that I'll eat whilst watching TV. Like, I don't give up.
I knock
and
myself
Jews,
out.
So.
I have to go and lay down and I roll around in pain. Like a buffalo, and then come back down and do it again.
Who's cooking Christmas?
We change, we alternate between mum and dad. So last year was dad's Christmas, which was great.
And will your mum go?
And we see mum Boxing Day.
Oh, okay.
So we just change it. So we have mum Christmas this year, which is great.
And she's great.
It'd be better food.
Yeah. Yeah. Will you cook anything?
No. No, mum loves doing it. But I think we might do something for Boxing Day at my house with my dad and his family and stuff.
That's
which would
nice.
Be nice.
Right, okay, last question. As this is called table manners, what table manners do you require, or what really pisses you off at the dinner table when people are doing certain things?
Do you know what? My mum was huge on table manners.
Really?
Huge. Yeah. It was her big thing as kids. She...
Like, what would she make you do? Because my mum used to always say...
She hated it when you'd eat and then hold your cutlery up like that when you're talking.
Yeah. So you'd have to put your cutlery down.
Put your cutlery down when you're, when you're eating. I hate when people rush and just have their head in it.
That's me.
Other than that, nothing. For me, it's sitting around a table eating dinner is about taking your time, conversation, sharing food, I think. I don't...
Me too. I
have a real
share
thing
too much.
In
I take all the food before everybody can share it. That's the problem.
I'm like
people don't like sharing
my team
with
in the restaurants. I'm always like, start us to share whenever we go anywhere because...
Me too.
I don't see the point of being in an amazing restaurant and us all not experiencing
anything.
The same thing together.
Agreed. Agreed.
The only thing is if you share with Jessie, she's eaten it.
I don't understand why people in curry places get their own main.
Oh,
I'm
weird.
Like, fuck you.
Weird. Me too. I get aggressive.
Thanks so much for being on this.
That's so nice.
It's just nice to see
it's
you,
so
isn't it?
Yeah, it really is.
No, I'm really, really happy we got to chat.
Me too.
And thank you so much for being on Table Manners.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for cooking.
Pleasure, darling.
Thank you.
We'll do Friday night dinner next time.
Yes.
Yeah, I'll do probably
yeah,
Friday
yeah.
night.
That was Second Helpings with Sam Smith. Thank you to Sam for coming on the podcast. I feel like they are due coming back on.
I think so.
I wonder what they're eating nowadays.
Definitely.
Thank you for listening. And during this summer, we will be giving you more of these Second Helpings of brilliant guests that we've had on Table Manners. Hope you enjoy them. If you fancy chatting about these episodes, these wonderful divine guests, send an email into hello@tablemannerspodcast.com and we'll see you next week.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
it. Coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.